It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Molinaro. An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Non si può stopparlo.
Down goes Anderson!
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around this place. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher, back to my left.
Vamos! Ehele kaua. That is, that's let's go in Hawaiian.
Ooh, I like it.
Because I realized I put in let's go in Portuguese, and Portuguese and Spanish are kind of similar.
Very, very close.
And sure enough, in Portuguese, let's go was vamos. So I was like, ooh, let me switch it up here real quick.
Vamos.
It's more of a B
than a V.
Thank you, Miss De Andrade, my sixth grade Spanish teacher. You all right over there?
I was looking for something, and then I...
Any sort of Spanish drops?
I lost it.
Yeah. Any sort of something?
Non si può stopparlo.
I heard him drop that last night.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did Sterling drop the... Stanton home run call.
Yeah, and he also started singing about Juan Soto. He's like, he's wonderful.
Let's go.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Nothing. He's wonderful.
I am.
He's wonderful.
I'm like, all right.
I am such a big fan of John Sterling after hating him in my early years. So, yeah, leave him out there. Let him do this for as long as he wants. Every playoff game.
Let him be a goofy old man a little bit longer.
I've been texting with Voldemort of late.
Oh boy.
I text him last night.
Whatever.
And I said, you're going down tonight. He did not respond, but then he responded to me this morning and said, wait, are you back on Cleveland? So clearly he listens to the show.
And, or he just missed that episode.
And so I had to explain to him that yes, the former abuser is better than the current abuser, because at least I can predict the former abuser. And he laughed about it, and he thought it was funny.
I'm uncomfortable.
But he told me something that I thought was hilarious that I wanted to share with you all. As Voldemort was a huge integral piece of this show for 90% of what we've done. Joe, thank you. I love you. Thank you.
I'll give him 85.
85%.
You know what? Let's bump that down to 70.
I'm down to bump that down to 70.
I don't know what he even did, honestly.
It made 60?
It was all me.
Should we get to 40%?
I ran the show. You wouldn't have a show if it weren't for me.
Well, Voldemort was able to go to a Yankee Mariner game about a month ago.
I saw this.
And he met Aaron Boone. And
That's disappointing.
He met Luke Weaver.
How about that?
The most unhittable pitcher in baseball right now.
Who everyone before the season knew would be just the stalwart of that bullpen. Luke, and would be the most important to that bullpen, right?
Luke Emmanuel Clase Weaver, the closer for the Yankees. And Mike told me that he asked him a question. He said, how do you feel? And in classic journalism style of one Giancarlo Lynch, he said, how do you feel? Do you miss starting pitching? He said, do you miss being a starter? And Luke Weaver said to him, and I quote, well, it was nice to have 4 days off.
So, yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. I told Mike that I was going to tell that story today on the show. And that's got to be the life of a reliever, right? If you're a starting pitcher that has turned to reliever, I mean, Papelbon was a starter who got moved to reliever and was a pretty damn good closer for a while, despite being an absolute insane human being. That I love that Luke Weaver was honest to Voldemort and said, well, I like those 4 days off. Can you imagine going to a job where you got to do your job at the best level, but if you suck at it, you still get 4 days off? If you're great at it, you get 4 days off.
And you still get paid hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, it's not so bad. Not so bad, huh?
Closers remind me of that that meme, that like TikTok of the guy, the, you got soft hands, brother. You've never worked a hard day in your life. I've been putting in effing 18-hour days.
You can feel these hands. Look at these calluses. They have never worked a hard day in their life.
Whereas a starter is like, he's like the guy that barely does anything on the group project but still gets an A.
Yeah.
It just shows up, you know, every 4 or 5 days. I'm like, what's up, guys? Well, yeah, watch this. All right, I'm done. See you next week.
Love when that happens. It's only in the playoffs, though, when relievers actually have to, like, maybe work every day because, A, relievers do get off days in the regular season, and, B, they don't actually have to get to work. Some hang in the dugout until, like, what, the fourth or fifth inning. So their work day is, like, so short. I mean, you're literally looking at, like, 45 minutes as opposed to a starting pitcher having to be out there and then do a little bit of a run through the day before, 50 pitches on the mound in the bullpen, that kind of stuff.
That would be great, actually, Jordan. Great, great, great point. That would be great to break down your wage per hour, okay? Because I work in the restaurant industry, and our bartenders, when they do their tip out for the rest, for the, at the end of the night, they got another bartender who didn't close with them, but they closed. So they got to say, okay, you worked 4.5 hours, I worked 6 hours. After tip out, this is what we make, this is what you deserve, this is what I deserve. And what they, and the mathematical equation basically breaks down to what you make an hour. And I think it would be fascinating because I think guys like Gerrit Cole, guys like Scherzer, Verlander, like the high paid pitchers, their hourly wage is probably really rad. But if you look at like some of those, like, what's Josh Hader's hourly wage?
You know, I remember doing this, but in a different sport, in the NFL, where I compared Aaron Rodgers' stats and, like, pass attempts through his career and yards and everything to his salary versus Chase Daniels.
Yeah.
Who was a known career backup who rarely ever had to play. And it was basically like, how much money did they make per pass attempt? And Chase Daniels made some, like, a good amount,
like,
more.
$400,000 a pass attempt.
It was
Aaron
way, it was more than
like
Aaron Rodgers.
$85,000.
I can't remember when I did this. This was in like 2019 or something like that. But I remember, I'm like, I mean, who's to say that Chase Daniel doesn't have the better career? He plays less, yeah, but he's getting hit less. He's not having to work as hard, and he's making more per pass attempt.
And I believe Chase Daniels...
less stress?
I believe Chase Daniels has 2 Super Bowl rings.
Oh.
One with Breeze.
And then one
with... one
with
Mahomes.
You're right. Oh, my God.
I don't know if he was on that Breeze team.
So I'm just saying...
I gotta go up the pro football
Daniels,
reference here.
Rodgers... I might rather be Chase Daniel.
Again,
I might
career backup.
Obviously, I'd
didn't
rather
have
be,
to do anything.
Obviously, I'd rather be Aaron Rodgers. You know, you get the hot chicks, Olivia Munn, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean,
by the way, props to John Mulvaney. I forgot that he
ScarJo.
He had ScarJo too.
No. My bad. It's not Mulvaney. It's the dude that is
Mulaney, not Mulvaney. It's Mulaney.
Yeah, John Mulaney.
It's the other dude on Weekend Update.
Oh, I know who you're talking to. Colin Jost.
Colin Jost. Yeah. But they kind of look to me similar. But Jost, yeah, he's married to ScarJo.
Well, good for him, too.
But, right?
Yeah, John Mulaney. Goes to show you.
I mean, I would never leave my wife. She's amazing.
Well, goes to show what humor does for you, right? Being a funny guy.
Being a funny guy is where it's at.
Having a sense of humor, yeah.
Have you seen my wife?
Way out
of my league.
Yeah.
Way out of my league. Yeah. And I don't even think I'm funny. They just let me sit in front of this microphone.
Trust me, I think my girlfriend, she does a... She does a lot of laughs, and I'm like, you don't mean that. Really?
That's so cute. Thanks,
you
babe.
You don't mean that.
Being a chubby comedian will get you in. It always does. I mean, look at Josh Gad. He's got a nice wife. I get the money's there, but like, yeah. Jonah Hill's able to date hot women.
Jonah Hill's skinny now.
Well, now he is.
Wait, who is Josh Gad married to? You got me curious now.
Oh, I don't even know who that is. Like some... Josh
Megan
Gad...
Fox?
No. Josh Gad, the voice of...
Olaf?
Yeah, Olaf, and then like a couple other.
Oh, I know that guy.
Listen, I'm sure.
I have a house full of kids. Of course I know Olaf.
I was like, no, you know.
He's Listen, I'm sure she's a sweet sin. Lady.
Oh, is she not as.
I'm
going to
go with Olivia Munn 7 days out of the week.
You ever you ever seen Pierce Brosnan's wife?
Yeah, she used to be the reporter on Unsolved Mysteries, Keeley Say Smith, right?
Pierce Brosnan. Is a gorgeous. That is,
no.
I'm
here.
That is the most ridiculous poll that I've heard from Jordan.
And I'm
she was the host on Unsolved Mysteries.
Like. Not the host, the reporter that Robert Stack would toss it to. I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick. There's actually a story here. A, Keeley Shea Smith used to be hot.
This show is being pirated right now by Schultzy.
Keeley Shea Smith used to be hot, for one. Go back and watch any episode of Unsolved Mysteries. That is when Pierce picked her up.
What happened?
Two,
well, they had children, and Pierce Brosnan loves her because she's a wonderful human being, and he loves his partner, not at P. Diddy parties.
And here's why he loves his partner. He never thought he was going to get married again after the death of his first wife. I believe it was from cancer or something.
Like a Keanu Reeves kind of thing.
Yeah, really devastating, and all of a sudden, this woman, Keeley Shea, like, came into his life, and he was, I mean, I've heard several interviews about how he was so taken aback by this woman. So don't knock her down, dude.
Look at Jordan with the Keeley Shea Smith
so
backstory.
Random.
That is huge.
So random.
Get this guy a show. Oakley Dokley.
Get him on Extra.
We got a baseball show for you today. There's a lot going on, all right? This is baseball. It's October. It's our favorite month. This is what we do here. We talk about baseball and what's going on. Cleveland, New York right now, 4-2, going in the seventh, I believe. The Yankees are up, trying to take a 2-0 series lead before it goes back to Cleveland. There's plenty of time to talk about that. There's plenty of time to talk about the Dodgers. But what I'd love to do is talk about how we got here. How we got here was a really, really amazing situation. Whether you are Cleveland, Detroit, L.A., San Diego, there's a lot to get through on how we got to where we are. Even the Mets and Phillies, there's a lot there. But I'd like to start. We'll go out west. I believe on this show, we said... This team was left for dead, and they were not. We'll do that. There's a huge 2 hours in front of you guys right now. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, today the Fan. Yankees up 4-2, top of the bottom of the seventh. Hunter Gaddis on the mound. We'll keep you up to date on this game as it keeps going. And we'll dive into these current series going on in the second hour. But I want to kind of... I don't want to get caught up in the moment, you know. I don't want to, like, blow it all at the beginning. Because let's not forget, since we were on air last Tuesday, a lot of S has gone down.
Yeah, a lot of S has gone down since the last 2 weeks that I was on air.
So
Hood River was fantastic, by the way.
Cool. You guys got paid to, like, not work. Awesome.
Get absolutely lit.
Lit. Yeah, it's lit, fam. It's
hey,
lit,
Kurt
fam.
Ludwig's rendition of Karma Police was something to behold at the karaoke, okay?
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Didn't mean to hit that one.
Well,
still
that,
funny.
That's what should have happened to Kurt's rendition of Karma Police. It should have ended immediately.
I meant to hit.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Uh, b- but before we get into what the hell is going on right now, which is pretty fascinating and wild in the both LCSs, let's talk about how we got there. And I want to start with the Dodgers and the Padres. And this was such a fascinating situation. I think baseball is probably happy that it's Dodgers Mets in the LCS. But we sat here, Jordan and I sat here last week after game three of the NLDS, and we said the Dodgers are done. They're toast. Like, and not just because of how San Diego was playing, but because of how they looked and how the Dodgers looked. The pitching staff was not good. Starters couldn't go long. Relievers couldn't hold it together. Fernando Tatis is thrusting in the outfield. You know, everybody,
excuse me, what?
Everybody on the Padres, it looked like it. S was going down in San Diego. There's game four. We're going to close it out. And it's like, whoa. Hold up. This is where I might actually say that Dave Roberts became a real major league manager.
Oh, my God. He finally admits it.
He might have become a full-time major league manager.
He might become a full-time. Was he the interim?
He felt like an interim to me. You know, you listen to this show and I bag on Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone, and I'm probably going to congratulate both of them.
I love how both their teams are going to probably end up making the World Series.
But I'll give Dave Roberts credit. All right, they went into game four and they should have had every business to get smoked in that. And the Padres are in the NLCS swagging and throwing baseballs at managers and
pelvic thrusting.
Pelvic thrusting.
Devil's dancing.
And it went two more games and the Padres lost and the Dodgers went through. And what I will say before I toss it over to you, Joe, about this is going into that game four, I would have bet, I'm not a gambler. I know everybody on this station is a gambler. I am not a gambler. It's because I watch baseball, and they tell us every time, don't gamble. So I don't gamble.
Followed up by a DraftKings ad.
But I would have bet the farm that the Padres would have won game four. And there was something about that. The way that bullpen game was thrown, the way hitters hit, it reminds me of like a college football moment where I'm trying to think. Like, I know this is a bad example because they lost, but this is the example I'll use. Vanderbilt's up 14-7 on Alabama at halftime, and the final score is 38-14 Alabama. Like, eventually you get out-athleted. And game four to me felt like San Diego were not focused. And that's the theme of this show, if I'm being honest with you. San Diego stopped being focused. They thought that their swag, their pure God-given talent, they went Griffey mode instead of actually focusing on how to beat the Dodgers, and they lost.
Yeah. I think that you do have a point there. Also, I mean, starting pitching for them, and bullpen, as you mentioned, like they just like flipped the switch, man. Obviously, easy to say as Aaron Judge hits a 2-run home run and is now up 6-2 Yankees over the Guardians. Apologies.
Got some money on that.
But I think that the Padres did take their eyes off the prize a little bit, and the professionals of the Dodgers, especially, you know, when you are led by a Shohei Ohtani, a Freddie Freeman, a Mookie Betts, who have done it over and over and over again. Shohei, not so much. This is his first playoffs. But again, even-keeled professionals, whereas you got some hotheads over on the other side with Tatis, Machado. I think that they did didn't keep their eye on the ball as, oh my God. Sorry.
Stop, Joe. Focus.
I'm sorry.
Be the Dodgers, not the Padres.
And I mean, it does help that, you know, you get that final game at home, but obviously not too far of a drive. But to see the Padres not score a single run in those last two games, that was shocking. Like, I didn't anticipate that happening.
You had Dylan Cease on the mound in game four.
In hindsight, going into game four, it's easy for me to be like, oh, I probably would have taken the Dodgers. But there was something about, like, I'd been on the Dodgers. Well, who hasn't been on the Dodgers this entire season? But it was around that July, August mark where I was kind of like, man, I just think the Dodgers are going to get this done. Like, they just have too many offensive weapons. And even with their pitchers' arms falling off throughout the season, they still seem to get healthy enough during this stretch run that they were going to be able to pull it out. And, I mean, Yamamoto in game four, he out-dueled Darvish.
Game five.
Was that game five? You're correct. That was. That was the 2-0 game. Yes, correct. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting my games.
Game four
up.
Was a blowout. Game five was Darvish Yamamoto. And Darvish actually pitched really well. He went five or six innings, to my recollection, gave up 2 runs.
Oh, yeah. Game four was when the Dodgers went with that Brazier guy.
The bullpen game.
Yes, correct. My God. 8 pitchers that game.
I know. That's what's so crazy about baseball where we are right now. It's like, here we are. Judge just hit a home run to go up 6-2 on Cleveland. And we're waiting on game three for the Mets-Dodgers tomorrow, but we forget, like, how did we get here? We got here because, honestly, the Padres got ahead of their skis, and once they lost game four, they were toast. It's like, we talked about this, Jordan. Joe, yeah. You were out. We talked about this. After game three, the Dodgers looked dead in the water. I've never seen a team more dead in the water than I did after that. The fanfare, the cockiness, the thrusting in right field, the Manny Machado is now in Dave Roberts' head, all that stuff, like, you're done. And after one game, it's over. You walk into game five, and I expected the Dodgers to win, and they did.
I guess that you didn't expect the Dodgers to be able to get a win in any way possible.
No right? way possible.
Like, I mean, they literally had to go down into the depths of, like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. They went to, like, way number 99 or 100 with a bullpen game. And they now, what, thrown 2 or 3 of those in the playoffs? They don't have starters, but that doesn't seem to matter. And I think that's kind of the surprising thing that you and I were getting at last week is, like, they're decimated. They've had injuries. They've literally had to trade it, you know, for Jack Flaherty at the deadline. There's so many things that they've just had to try to plug and play, but here we are, they're still hitting, and Ohtani isn't even hitting, you know? Like, Freddie Freeman was the hero in one of their last games. Like, they've still got 1 through 5, even if Ohtani doesn't do anything of guys that will really hurt you. So, yeah, they're playing good ball, and it's like they heard our show, and all of a sudden we're like, we're going to use this as motivation or something.
I feel like the Mets were going to send a thank you.
I love the idea of the Dodgers listening to this show, and they're like, watch this.
Yeah, you jerks.
I love the idea that the Mets looked at the Dodgers and said, thanks, because we don't want to play the Padres. Because, right, it looked like Padres-Mets. That's what it looked like. And it looked like the craziest series, most insane S you've ever seen, unpredictable. Let me tell you, it's the biggest thing that anyone's ever seen. That's what it kind of looked like. And so the Dodgers beat them, and the Mets are like, thank you. Oh, whoops, the Dodgers are now laser-focused. Because that's what the Dodgers had to do to get out of that series, is they had to shut up and play and dribble. That's what it was. Shut up and dribble. And they did that.
And they did that for, what was that, 27 innings? Well, 33 straight, but the 6 of those came in the loss in game 3. But, yeah, I mean, the switch that was flipped, very impressive.
Very impressive.
Like, again, where you think they are shook, and then to just come out and get that win in San Diego. Because you're right. I mean, like, you're in San Diego as well in that game 4.
And that crowd has been the
best.
The crowd in game 3 year of San Diego is the best crowd we've seen this year.
And so, yeah, you think that it's just like, good luck. Especially, like, you know, the pitching situation that you're in, having to throw half your roster out there.
And you threw your ace on the mound in game 4 and you lost. And you threw your second ace in game 5 and you lost. San Diego.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
You threw Cease and Darvish and you lost both games.
Yeah. That first one, I mean, Cease has had such a great year. That's got to be the ultimate just, like, buzzkill. And at that point, you're just like, dude, if we couldn't get the win with Cease and they had to throw 15 different pitchers, like, well, prayers to God on game 5, and then that didn't go their way.
And what's hilarious is it wasn't the only game in town. You switch over to the American League, Detroit had Cleveland up against the brink with their ace on the mound. How'd that turn out? We'll do that next. But first, I'll throw it over to Schultzy with sports.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further with Vancouver 4. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit Vancouver4.com. That'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into where we are now as Cleveland and New York are battling in game two. And I believe Jimenez... Ooh,
I don't know if battling is the word that I would use.
Well, they're battling on the field.
Mm. One's winning the battle.
Men of attrition.
One's winning the battle.
Yankees up 6-2 in game two of the ALCS. We'll get to what's going on now in the second hour, but I want to stick with kind of how we got here. And speaking of Cleveland, that Cleveland-Detroit series was very interesting in the sense of it felt like old-school National League baseball. It's manufacturing runs. It's bullpen. It's how long can your starters go. It's managers making good decisions. I thought A.J. Hinch was absolutely phenomenal. Earned every single dollar he is paid in that series. And you go back to A.J. Hinch in Houston, and that team was loaded, and then we find out, you know, the trash cans and the buzzers and stuff like that. But I think there's a reality, there is a multiverse in which we have to realize that A.J. Hinch is a very, very good manager, and I think that was on display in that series. I think Lane Thomas just stepped up and hit a granny off Tarik Skubal.
Well, I mean, also David Fry in that game four, right? Like you're leading that game, you're leading that series. You literally just have to finish them off in three. You have three innings left, and then you're going on to the ALCS, and you aren't able to seal the deal in that one. And I mean, yeah, credit to Hinch. I mean, that's what he's been managing his ass off this last two Gary and a Carpenter. Half, 3 months. So, I mean, like, that's got to I think that's got to do something to a team when you are that close and three innings away from finishing off the series, and then you give up the lead and you lose that game four, that pivotal game, and then you go into the final game five and you're just like, God, we just had them. You're almost like hanging on to what could have been, and before you know it, it's like, OS, we still have a game to play.
But game two went the same way.
Yeah.
It was 0-0. Scooble on the mound. And it was 0-0 in the seventh, and in the eighth, Kerry Carpenter, it's a three-run blast, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
I think what was fascinating about that series was to talk. I think that series, there's more to talk about that series about the Tigers than there is the Guardians. And I mean it in the sense that, A, I think the Tigers are ahead of schedule. I think they tore this whole thing down. They've got a ton of hot prospects, and all of them aren't even in the bigs yet. And they hired a manager in A.J. Hinch who has proven to develop young guys. He did that. Trash cans, buzzers aside, he made Correa, Bregman, Springer, he made those guys better players.
I'd personally like to give the nod to Mike Elias, current Orioles director of player personnel, but, you know.
It's better than Alex Cora or Carlos Beltran, I'll tell you that.
Or, excuse me, president of baseball operations. Getting his title wrong.
But Hinch knows how to develop those players. I think Detroit is way ahead of schedule, and that's why they push Cleveland to the brink. I think what happened in that is Cleveland is not some offensive juggernaut, as you can see in their in their situation with the Yankees right now. But I think Cleveland had guys, despite their bullpen being young, but their starters are and I mean hitters and pitchers, are guys that have been there. They're pros, to where Detroit was playing with house money, and I'll give them a ton of credit. It's a Lane Thomas grand slam off Scooble away from Detroit being in the ALCS. Because if Scooble doesn't throw that pitch, he probably gets out of that inning. And as we're seeing in this Yankee series, do we really think Cleveland's going to hit the ball to get ahead? I feel like I'm waiting for Kerry Carpenter or Riley Green or the dude that plays first. His name starts with a V that escapes my head. Like
Verling?
Yeah. They had guys that were on fire. And Lane Thomas hit that home run, hit that grand slam in game five in front of his home crowd, and Detroit was done. Outside of that, Detroit could easily be in game two right now.
I disagree a little bit just because I do feel like you kind of came up against one of the best bullpens in baseball in the Cleveland Guardians. You've been talking about Class A. Like, you specifically, Patrick, have highlighted how great he is, how he should be a candidate for the Cy Young Award because of his, you know, outstandingly low ERA for most of the year. Like,
he'll finish second, and I could argue he should win it.
Yeah, he's been shut down, and even a team ahead of schedule, unfortunately, just isn't going to be able to overcome. Like, how many innings can Detroit pitch Scooble, right? Like, they can't pitch him into the 12th. They can't pitch him into the 13th. I'd feel more comfy about the Guardians going into extras than I would about the Tigers. The Guardians have way more experienced hitters. They've got Jose Ramirez, who, I mean, has just one of the best ideas of what a strike zone is in all of baseball.
Switch hitter, too.
I know. It's just a professional at bat watching him just, you know, see the curveballs or sliders going out of the zone, and he's like, I'm not fooled. Throw it again, bitch. It's just really, like, it's a different kind of baseball that the Guardians are playing. Not to say the Tigers won't get there, but they just ran into one of the most elite pitchers in a very elite bullpen. It is what it is.
Vegas already has Detroit as the favorite to win the Central next year.
They already have that out?
Wow.
Or too early. Is that shade to Cleveland, or is that backing my point that Detroit is a sleeping giant? Maybe not a giant, but a sleeping
ogre.
I like that.
I would say that, I mean, it's fair with the way that they finished the season, right? Like, I had a feeling that they were going to be, and I quote, not as bad as last year. Which is saying
a lot.
Which
for them is easy.
Yes, exactly. And they fulfilled that many times over.
They remind me of the 2015 Houston Astros. They're ahead of schedule. Yeah. They're ahead of schedule.
So give them an offseason. Maybe they make some moves. They have money to spend. Thank you, Miggy, for no longer taking up all the salary cap. And they have young talent. So I'm not. And they have.
And more to come.
And you could probably say they have the most experienced manager in the division. Unless we'll see what the White Sox do.
I mean, are the White Sox about to hire Connie Mack? Because that guy won a ton of World Series. I mean, 100 years ago. Literally 100 years ago.
But
he's got a ton of experience.
Again, the Detroit Tigers, as you mentioned, ahead of schedule. But again, we didn't think that Cleveland was going to be there either.
Cleveland was picked to finish fourth in the division.
So I think the fact
that... And here they are in the ALCS.
Yeah, and
stinking it up, but in the ALCS.
And I know you don't want to hear it. It's one of those, it's like, man, Cleveland might just be one of those, like, be happy that you're there, because I don't think you had any business to even think you should be here. But granted, they managed a great regular season.
They're the Tigers on the big boy level.
Yeah.
The Tigers were on the mid level. And that's why they got as far as they did. And Cleveland is on the big boy level and lacking.
Now, I find that the Tigers being the favorite is a little disrespectful to the Royals after the season they just had. And if also they're able to add any add any bats, because I feel like outside of Witt, Salvi, and...
Old man Perez in a Hall of Fame and guaranteed season he had this year.
Vinny Pasquantino.
No, Pasquantino is a freaking beast. Like, one of the least talked about best hitters in baseball.
So outside of those guys, I mean, they definitely need to add some bats, but...
pitchers. They need pitchers. They can't... I think Vegas doesn't expect Seth Lugo and whoever the hell else they have, like...
Cole Reagans.
Well, Michael Wacha.
Seth
Lugo. Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo.
Throwing shade at Seth Lugo using the lisp.
I don't think that Vegas expects them to repeat like they did.
I do not expect Michael Wacha to pitch as well next year. Agreed. And same with Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo. That might be a thing from here on out. Seth Lugo. The Central's been crazy. And I think that's what's so disappointing. We'll get into this Yankees-Cleveland series in the second hour. I think that's what's been so disappointing about this Yankees-Cleveland series is that the Central was so good, is that it was so fun, and they went so far. And the Royals snuck a game out in New York, you know, to give them a little bit of love before we get out of here. They snuck a game out in New York, and it was 1-1, and I'm sitting there going, see, I told you, the Yanks aren't very good. If this Royals team can push them 1-1, steal one on the road, and go back home, this Royals team's got it. And then they looked like Detroit in the sense of, like, we're not there yet.
Yeah, but
we're not there yet.
And again, we'll talk about it in the next segment as far as, you know, what still possibly lies ahead for Cleveland. Because there's still a lot of, games left in the series, Patrick, okay? Hey, Brennan made a nice catch earlier on in the game.
Stop.
He made a sick catch there in right field, okay?
Cool. Did he do it in Cleveland or did he do it in New York?
He did it in New York. It was just when the game was 0-0, and it didn't matter.
All right, when we come back, there's one team that's not in the playoffs that is getting, in my opinion, not the attention they need to get to, and we'll get to that next. The Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Vancouver 4 text line. Scovel did throw the pitch. That's baseball. Tigers have a future. Guardians won. That's baseball. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sorry if I said that Scovel gave it up, but he did load the bases, but I understand your point. I do think the Tigers are going to be great. Also coming in on the Royals, no way. Wacha is very solid. I was bummed the Sox let him get away.
I'm not disagreeing that he's solid. I just, what is he, 36, 37? 2 years in a row, that performance.
Well,
a little hard to.
Well, but those are the kind of guys you want on your team. You know who Cleveland would die for?
Michael Wacha.
Is somebody in the batting lineup that could go 240, but has played for 15 years? Like, is Matt Holliday available? I would die for him.
Justin Turner.
Can Steven Vogt hit? Can the manager hit? Because I don't know if he can manage, but I'd love for him to hit.
He's hot.
Sorry.
He's hot. He's bothered. Should I read this text then?
Go for it.
Or do you want to read it?
Go for it.
Patrick, it's been a while, but back in January, you were guest hosting for Dirt in the Morning, and you guys talked about some baseball, saying the Yankees would finish third, possibly fourth in the AL East. As a Yankee fan, it warmed my heart so much. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing that day. And that take is now as cold as the day I heard it.
I don't know. This body is about as hot as it could be.
Good luck.
You think of me.
Good luck. Maybe getting some home cooking on Thursday. That from Jordan. from the 206.
Shots fired.
Shots fired about me living in your head rent free.
Oh, that's the move that you're pulling there, huh?
Go, go,
also, a text coming in. Michael Wacha is only 33. That is a
that's insane.
That's younger than I thought.
Michael is Wacha is like 63 in my mind.
Yeah, if I would have guessed, I would have said like 36 at least.
I would have said 38.
Kind of worth.
I think I did say 38.
Well, we're all wrong. Well, you know what? Cut the mics. Lugo, we're done here.
Seth Lugo's about 35, so I think maybe we were thinking, yeah, probably something like that.
Seth Lugo's 35, but he was the future in 15 when the Mets were in the World Series.
Yes,
I guess
was.
That is 10 years ago.
I mean, yeah, then you go back, and then a young Oliver Perez was the king in New York. So, yeah, things change.
DeGrom's dead. Syndergaard's out of the league.
Syndergaard, his locks
Matt
of magic
Harvey's
are long
on
gone.
Drugs and facing potential his teammate dying.
Speaking of that time of year, though, or that time in baseball, I saw the other day, super weird tangent, but Eric Hosmer, when's the last time you heard his name?
Yeah, when he retired.
Retweeting some anti-vax stuff yesterday. I was like,
oh wonderful.
Boy. I was like, oh, boy, Hosmer.
You got to love it when guys you enjoyed decide to show their face. It's like Eric Clapton. I grew up my entire life believing that Eric Clapton was the greatest guitar player to ever live. And then he was like, actually, I hate black people and I don't vaccinate. And I was like, cool. Wow.
Is Eric Hosmer even on?
Thanks for just wrecking
my
world, dude.
No, I think the Cubs got him from the Padres
he's
after
done.
That.
He's out. Yeah, he's out. Yeah.
He's out. He's well, he can now be Aubrey Huff 2.0, right?
All right, cool. Good for you guys. We came back in with his band because I'm surprised that he's not going back to his band. He signed an extension in Philly, and that's Rob Thompson in Philadelphia. And let me tell you, I think what's so sometimes fascinating about baseball is that we have, if this American League Championship Series, which we'll discuss in about 10 minutes, goes the way it continually looks, you're looking at a World Series of either Yankees-Dodgers or Yankees-Mets. All right, which is what everybody wants.
Well, no, because there's still 5 games left in this series in the ALCS, Patrick.
Thank God.
Maybe 5 games.
I can't decide if I want 2 or 5 more games. I haven't decided yet, but we'll get there. But if that's the case, wow, what does this do? It hides the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies, I almost said the San Diego Padres, but we already did that. The Philadelphia Phillies completely no-showed in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I told you this during the break. I've said it to other people around the station that my biggest pet peeve in baseball is when you have a good offense and you do not show up in the playoffs. Like,
it's unbelievable.
You being pissed about the Guardians, like, you know, well, their offense isn't exactly on fire to, you know, begin with, and it's not this amazing juggernaut like the Padres, like the Phillies. Like, I mean, to an extent, the Orioles. I know they had a bad month and a half, but the way they started this season.
But the Orioles in the playoffs, they're going to get they're going to get out on this, too.
But, man,
I think the Orioles are in the same boat as the Phillies in what we're talking about.
Well, it also pissed me off a couple of years ago. I want to say the Phillies in the World Series against the Astros, where they were just tattering the ball to start the series, and then they just couldn't hit anymore. And it's like, you guys, like, what the hell are you, what's going on?
How did you just, are you not focused, or are you, like, on the road, like, banging chicks? Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, give it to at least Castellanos and Harper. They played well at the dish. But, I mean, Trey Turner.
Why?
What a disastrous, just waste of a season that
JT
was.
JT Realmuto, bye. Bryson Stott, bye. Alec Boehm benched.
Yes, I was going to say, Alec Boehm.
Future Mariner right there.
One of your
$200 million future Mariner.
One of your best hitters, batters this year, Alec Boehm, he got a hit in the entire series.
He got benched.
Yeah, JT Realmuto didn't even get a hit.
I think that's what's, I keep using the word fascinating, and I just can't think of any other adjective right now, but I think that's what's amazing. You look at the Padres games 4 and 5, but more importantly, you look at the Phillies in every single one of those games. Did you ever, when a Philly came to the plate, think they were going to get a big hit?
Didn't feel it, Bob.
It didn't feel... Now, Harper had a big hit.
Hindsight's
20... Castellanos had a big hit.
Again, hindsight's 20-20, but I have just had that in the back of my mind always with them in the World Series a few years ago. It's like they were up 2-1 in that series, and then they absolutely crumbled and gave the Astros the series because they could not manufacture any runs the rest of the series. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm going back on it. They scored in the final three games of that series against the Astros. They scored 3 runs.
Yep.
Like, it just drives me absolutely mad for teams that I don't even care about, that aren't even my teams. It's just like, how the F do you do that?
Yeah. Like, Dodgers, Padres, I don't care. But I've watched game 4 and 5, and you score 0 runs. Like, what is wrong with you?
Just drives me bonkers, dude.
What is wrong with you? So, is this a management thing, or is this on the players?
It's on the players. I mean, like, the management, I feel like, especially when it comes to hitting, like, what are you going to do?
Look, Wheeler and Nola were pretty good.
Yeah. I just, and again, I feel like being a base manager in baseball matters more so in pitching than it does hitting.
Agreed.
I feel like that.
Hitters hit.
Yes.
Pitchers are situational.
I feel like it comes into, you know, say what you want about Scott Service, you know, and why he got canned, but... Again, I feel like that being a good manager comes into play more when you are setting up pitching, starters, bullpen, making the right call at the right time. Whereas if you have a good lineup, 1 through 9, like, just roll the ball out, you know, right. Expression there. Like
Steve, is Steve Kerr Phil Jackson? No, but he's got 4 rings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you got to coach good defense though.
Right.
You know, where it comes to offense, it's like, oh dude, that guy, he can just drain a 3-pointer from anywhere on the floor. Well, what do I do? Okay. Just shoot the ball.
Here's the ball. Here's the basketball.
Shoot it.
Yeah.
Make it cool. I'm a good man. I'm a good coach now. So yeah, I mean,
USA.
Yeah, dude, and I even forgot. I'm looking back on the final two games of the NLCS. Like, I forgot about that. I mean, they scored 3 runs in the final two games against the Diamondbacks. It's just, this is now the third season in a row in the playoffs where you guys don't show up.
Something's got
to
give.
When you need them. And I guess it's to, you know, again, they believe in, and did you find it ironic that Matchbox 20 played as our bump pack?
Oh, I did that intentionally.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel a lot
better.
Very
welcome.
Now. I just now caught that. Rob Thomas, baby, Phillies manager. They extended him. They believe in him. Listen, they've been really good with him, but something's got to give here in the next season. Like, I don't know if it's World Series or bust, especially when you have the Dodgers in front of you. The Mets have improved. The Padres are still going to be good. Whatever the hell happens in the NL Central next year. But again, something's got to give with this Phillies team where they push through and they are able to finish it off, because this happening the last 3 postseasons in a row is, as I said, with the Padres and the final 2 games against the Dodgers, it's inexcusable, really.
And speaking of players needing to perform and managers doing their duty, let's slide into where we are now. And I want to start with the American League Championship Series. I'm only going to tell this because it's the truth, but it's not necessarily how I feel. Buckle up for that. Loaded second hour. It's the LCS in the American League and the National League here on the Hot Corner. Portland Sports Leader, Tanner the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, sh**. They're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A home run.
The Fan.
The home run stroker.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you download that, The Fan Podcast, at TannyTheFan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further with Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. As Schultzy said in his update, Hosey goes deep, makes it a 6-3 game. Luke Weaver is real. Apparently, he is a human being and not a robot. And that's where we'll start the second hour. We'll do fair or foul at the bottom of it. But we'll stick here, right here, in this Cleveland-New York series. And, Joe, before I rant, do you have anything to say? Because I have a lot of things to say.
I was just going to actually say, should I start hawking this show live on air? Like, hey, if you want to sponsor this show or,
Dude, spit on that thing.
If you want to hawk Patrick. Oh, damn it. Let's just stop there. Let's get Patrick an endorsement, huh? What the hell? Hit me up. JoeFisher@odyssey.com. F-I-S-C-H-E-R. If I got Patrick Harris an endorsement, I feel like I could retire a happy man.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know what it would be. Blue Chew or something like that.
My wife and kids would love it.
Yeah.
Patrick Hawk and Blue Chew. Hey, what up?
I don't even know what Blue Chew is.
It's for that certain special part of that body during that special time in the bedroom.
Oh, I don't need
that. Let's get you a Roman endorsement. I'm pretty sure like Dirt and Sprague did a Blue Chew endorsement years ago. And it's like, you guys are 35.
I've said this before and I'll say it again.
Fuck, dude, spit on that thing.
We good.
You guys are not, I don't think they were even mid-30s at that point. I think they're early 30s. And they're like, hey, guys.
My favorite Sprague endorsement was manscaping. The thought of that dude who has no hair anywhere on his body hawking to shave the hair and maybe question mark the one place on his body.
Ow! Ah! 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 The gooch!
You can put it on the board!
Let's talk about where we are now, and we'll get to Cleveland, New York. That's where we're going to be right now. And I'll tell you what. The national media wants the Yankees to go. Okay, clearly. Like Cleveland, like nobody cares, blah, 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 blah. Could be the Brewers, could be the Tigers. Like, I heard somebody today on national media say, you know, I think this would be a more exciting series if it was the Tigers. And it's like, that makes no sense. The Tigers aren't better than Cleveland, and it was shown in five games, but also on paper, Cleveland's better than that. What's fascinating about this series to me, I keep using that word fascinating because I don't know what else to say without swearing and breaking FCC rules.
What's effing awesome about this series?
What's effing awesome about this series?
God, I wish we could cuss on air.
It would be amazing. If we could cuss on air, Joe, we should do the show every week blacked.
Oh, my God.
Just like we sleep here. That's our Tuesday night. You're here for the morning, and I stumble home in the morning like a Halloween night in Pullman at 20 degrees, and I'm 23. What's fascinating to me about this series with Cleveland, look, the Yankees are a good team, and I think the Yankees on paper are a better team than Cleveland. I think Cleveland matches up in some really key spots that make this a little more even. The Yankees bullpen has come out of nowhere to be phenomenal, but the Cleveland bullpen has been amazing all season. Aaron Judge has done basically nothing in the playoffs.
He didn't have to do anything in the first game of this series.
Exactly. And when it comes to Stephen Vogt and Aaron Boone, you're kind of like, okay, whatever.
Well, maybe.
The biggest takeaway that I've seen from this, as a baseball fan, and also as a fan, I'm livid. But as a baseball fan, what I have seen in this series, the most part, is Cleveland looks like they walked into Yankee Stadium and said, whoa.
Poopied their pants a little bit.
Yankee Stadium in October. What a famous venue. I can't believe I'm going to play here. And then pooped and vomited all over themselves. They look like food poisoning in Astoria at the Albatross with fresh oysters all night. Like, this team...
That sounded like a personal experience.
That is a personal experience. Last night, watching Cantillo and Bo Naylor, that was not even as a Cleveland fan, but as a baseball fan, that's awkward.
Should have had Austin Hedges behind the plate.
That's so uncomfortable to watch. To just... See, the Alex Cobb, you didn't expect Alex Cobb to go deep. Look, the Yankees last night had two good hits. Soto's solo shot and Stanton's solo shot. In the third, Cobb gets pulled and Cantillo comes in.
And I believe it's Cantillo.
No, it's Cantillo.
Oh, double L?
Double L. It's Cantillo. He looks so scared. He looks so unready to be in the moment. Like, it's not just the wild pitches. It's not about Bo Naylor not blocking the plate very well. It's about, I'm pretty sure he threw 12 straight pitches before a strike was seen.
He threw 21 pitches and only 7 of them were strikes.
Alex Cobb walked Judge, and that's what pulled Cobb. Aaron Judge scored in that inning without nobody connecting the bat to the ball. What does that tell you? And then you look at it tonight. Tanner Bibee was okay. He was not great, but he gets pulled in the second. Look, this is where my fandom's going to show right now. If Terry Francona's in that dugout, this doesn't happen. Stephen Vogt is way over his skis, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. He is being outmanaged by Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is just sitting there saying, wow, I don't even have to try. You're just giving this to me. Cole, I don't think Cole was that great tonight. He had the bases loaded twice. But to Joe's point earlier when we were talking about the Phillies and not hitting, is that really on a manager? No. But tonight, Cleveland had the bases loaded twice, once with no outs, and couldn't get it done. The media is going to talk about the Yankees being the Yankees and Stanton's had a great season, great series. Garbage. I don't believe that. Judge hits a homer. Oh, he's back. Nope, don't believe that. Juan Soto, yes, Juan Soto is God. The actuality is Gleyber Torres has set the precedent for this Yankee lineup. He's been the guy that's hitting. But the reality is every time I watch both these games, it's Cleveland vomiting all over themselves. Like Yankee Stadium is too big for them. Like it's the Yankees in the 90s, but you don't have Manny Ramirez, Albert Bell, Jim Thome, and Oral Hershiser on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, really all you have as far as players on that roster, that batting lineup, is Jose Ramirez, as far as it's like, guys, calm down. Like,
we're going to be fine. We're going to be okay.
Whereas this is where you hope that home cooking is going to help. I mean, you have, again, it's the first two games. Now, what I was saying to you a couple commercial breaks ago is that I feel like a team that goes out and wins the first two games at home, it speaks to them being a good effing team, that they're able to take care of business. And in every sport, a team that goes up 2-0 often wins the series.
Yeah.
It's hard to win four of the next five games when a team is that good in a playoff series. I don't care what the sport is. And so Cleveland, they're going to go back home. They're going to get the home cooking. But, I mean, who is New York going to have on the mound after Rodon? Well,
that's the real question. Is it going to be Luis Gil? You know, is it going to be Clark Schmidt?
Right now it says projected is Clark Schmidt. Yeah. So, but again, it's like, who's Cleveland going to throw?
Cleveland's
like,
probably going to throw Matt Boyd.
And how does that make you feel?
It doesn't make me feel great. I'd love to throw Gavin Williams and throw the kid out there and see what's up. But it's funny. Like, you know how the Dodgers, when they hit you know how everybody's got a thing when they get a single and they, like, make some sort of motion and that's what everybody does? The Dodgers have that stupid, like, side thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I noticed tonight the Yankees have a new one.
What is it?
This.
I'm watching you.
No, like, my eyes focused.
Oh.
The Yankees have one where they put two fingers in their eyes and they point it back at the dugout. Like, focused.
Well, that's just an Aaron Boone-managed team, man.
And what I think is very interesting is the Yankees are taking advantage of a Cleveland team that's just not ready. Like, I talked about this. Detroit and Kansas City outperformed themselves, and I'm proud of you for that. But you got to a stage that you weren't ready for. You're ahead of schedule. Cleveland got to this stage, and I'm proud of you. And you got to a stage that you are not ready for, and you look terrible doing it.
Yeah, you got
to
take advantage
of it. This isn't even fandom. This is just, you look bad.
Yeah, I mean, it really just, it came to a head last night, in a sense, with Cantillo out there, and it just, that mess of an inning, it's just like, oh,
and
boy.
Then tonight in the second inning, you got Rukio dropping a pop up in the infield.
I mean, to me, it's just leaving 10 dudes stranded, and yeah, two bases loaded opportunities. Like, that drives me nuts in MLB The Show. Like,
that drives me nuts in video games, let alone,
oh,
real
my
life.
God, that's damn near controller through the TV moment right there. Like, I can only, like, they need to take advantage of these opportunities offensively tomorrow. Well, in 2 days, I guess. I'm assuming that the next game is in 2 days. They got to travel.
Next game is in 2 days.
They have to have some offensive production, because they obviously have not had it the last two games. I mean, you're scoring 5 runs. Yankees have scored 11. You left 10 on base. I don't know who you're going to throw, but pray to God that he's able to keep the Yankees in check and that your bullpen is able to come in and save you. Because, I mean, you're not going to be at Yankee Stadium. Your big thing is they're caught by the lights.
That's what I think.
The environment
itself. I
think
it's the lights.
Just hope that coming back to Cleveland, having that home crowd behind you, is able to give you something.
A 1 o'clock first pitch on a Thursday.
That is just so annoying.
Let's go, baby. That sounds like Midwest baseball.
It'll be 2:08.
Charlie Manuel, dead, but he's in the stands.
You got more people available to watch Conference USA games.
Bob Feller is out there throwing 96 miles an hour, faster than a car.
It'll be a 5 o'clock pitch Cleveland time.
Yeah.
5:08. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's like, hey, everybody, get the F out of work.
The side note to this, and I don't want to get into too much, because I think we'll get into next week when we're probably looking at the World Series and previewing the World Series, depending on whoever goes. But I'd be careful if I was New York. This is a little bit of false pretense. Like, you've won two games, and you've hit when you needed to hit. Your bullpen's been dynamite. But you're also playing a team that's thrown up all over themselves. Let that confidence be confidence and not false. Right? Because this Yankee team, the way Cleveland's thrown up all over themselves, this Yankee team could walk into the World Series if they go. thinking we're better than we actually are. Because I'll tell you what, the other teams on the other side of the bracket, which we're going to get into next, in my opinion, are way better than this Yankee team I've seen. And that could spell disaster. So if you're a Yankee fan, or if you're a baseball fan, or if you just want to see play, like, you got to go to Cleveland in these three games. You can't come back to New York in any way, shape, or form. You lose game three, you lose game four, that's fine. You cannot come back to New York. Because if you're struggling to close out the Guardians, what are the Mets and Dodgers going to do to you?
Yeah, they'll pounce.
They'll pounce. And that's where I want to get to next. I'd love to get into the National League Championship Series, which this is why I don't gamble. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Only here on the Hot Corner do we supersede Dodgers-Mets with some hot Guardians-Yankees talk. I guess we get a little lucky that the game was on and just finished as we were talking. But I'm also biased AF. If you're on the YouTube stream, check out this fresh new lid on the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. You said you were going to go and get that.
She freshy freshy.
My hat's not as cool, but it does have a lot of fish on it.
Oh.
You see? Did you ever notice that?
I did not notice that.
It's a bunch of little fish.
Fish?
Yeah.
Is there three of them?
No, I think there's like 40-something. Oh. I never counted.
I think it'd be cool if there was three.
There's a lot of fish. Got this out at Brasada Ranch.
Oh,
so beautiful at Brasada. Nice. Have you ever been?
Oh, it must be nice to live that fat sales life who's never sold this show.
You think I'm paying for that trip? You think I'm paying for that trip?
Did you guys, while you guys were out on the sales trip, did you talk about how you've never sold this show in the 10 years of his existence?
Patrick, this show was not a thought at all.
That's
I'm shocked.
No.
Not shocking.
You guys, I'm just going to be blunt with
you. It's the best show on The Fan.
If I make the truth. Well, I agree with you. I'm going to be blunt. If I were to make a power rankings of most important things to sell, this show, as well as Sports Sunday, possibly bottom
five. Whoa, you got to throw in Sinner and the Saint. Oh. I will not sit here in a world where that place is bigger than me. I am 1080 The Fan.
I think they're joining us in that bottom
Thank
five.
Thank you. Yeah. As long as they're with us.
But I would say that one, Luke Anderson, probably prioritizes that show better than I prioritize the two shows that I'm on.
We think.
So therefore, that's why it's your Coors Light Sinner and Saint tailgate show.
Shocking that Luke Anderson cares about Luke Anderson more than anybody else not named Luke Anderson. I'm shocked.
No comment.
It's over.
All right. Let's slide over to the National League. We got a lot going on with this. Can you believe... I don't even know where to go to this. I'm still shocked that we talked to Yankees Guardians. Thank God my name is first. Over Dodgers Mets. So you go through two games, okay? Dodgers kind of say, hello, New York. Your story is cute. We are the Dodgers. We are now laser focused. We just got out of this really emotional series where we held our S together and walked through it like professionals. While you people are freaking out over there like little children, this is big boy baseball. Dodgers win game one. I was not shocked that Dodgers win game two. Game one. Game two, the Mets kind of slapped them around.
They jumped out quick.
Jumped out quick, and it was over. Over yeah. quickly. I heard this morning, I think I was listening to the boys this morning, Dirt and Sprague, and they were talking about how I think Andy was saying, well, they got close kind of late. And it's like, 7-3? Why? Because two guys were on? I wouldn't call that close late. I have no idea what to expect from this series. I truly don't. I think the Dodgers are the better team.
They are.
But I have no idea who's going to win.
I mean, they are the better team. I mean, 1 through 4, possibly 5. I mean, their lineup is better. I do not think that the Mets are going to win this series. I think pitching for them has been above reproach for this entire postseason. But I just don't think it's a staff that is going to be able to last throughout a full 7-game series against the Dodgers.
Sean Manea and Jose Quintana? I heard the boys this morning, one of them called him Quintana, and I was like... baseball boys.
Yeah, and then what is it? Who did they have?
Kodai Senga? Yeah,
who was all over the place in that first
game.
An
absolute terrible decision. Fair or foul? The Dodgers starting Kodai Senga in game one is a worse idea the Guardians. Sorry, the Mets starting Kodai Senga in game one is a worse idea than the Guardians starting Alex Cobb.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Fair. You got a guy who hasn't pitched all year, and you're like, we're going to use him as an opener.
I don't like Alex Cobb, but he was decent with the Giants the last couple
and
years.
A cascade of boos rained down from the stands.
And he was decent with the Guardians once he got traded.
He's
so.
Got experience. Yeah, that's
how as bad they've been now.
Going Kodai Senga game one against the Dodgers. It's you kind of got what you asked for there.
Yeah. But that's what I don't understand. Here we are. Like, I just sat here. Guys, can we get in the trust tree real quick? Something
sure.
just popped into my
the
head.
The trust oval.
Something
if you
just
will.
Popped into my head.
Lay it on us.
Here we are with the Final Four, right? Stephen Vogt, Aaron Boone, Carlos Mendoza, and Dave Roberts. Are these not four of the worst managers in baseball?
No. I think that you just hate two of them.
Yeah, you've heard me several times.
I think the number is closer to three these days. After games one and two of the ALCS, what do you think? I'm standing out here flying flags for Stephen Vogt? You think I'm like, oh, Tito's in Cincy? Good luck with that loser.
I mean, still a good manager. He's just a rook, bro. The fact that he even got to the playoffs is an accomplishment in itself.
He's got good players.
Yeah, and he knows how to manage a pitching
staff. He's got Carl Willis.
Most of the time.
I just think that you just hate Dave Roberts and will not come down from that hill.
I don't hate him. The facts remain.
Well, you're probably right. They're not the best managers in baseball, but they are.
They got the best players and the biggest payrolls outside of Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, it's funny that the Mets are like seen as this scrappy little team, and it's like you literally have the biggest payroll
biggest.
In baseball.
You're paying like three guys that don't even play for you.
I would say that, I mean, like Stephen Vogt, you probably got to put him as one of the better managers now after stepping in his first season and being able to get your team to the ALCS after filling in for the shoes of Terry Francona, one of the best managers of all time.
And you would think that watching the Tigers series, but against the Yankees, do you still feel that way?
The series is not over.
Or do you get a little lucky and you're just kind of like, hey, it's his first time.
Talk to me in like 4 or 5 days and I'll let you know.
I'm going to talk to you in 7.
Yeah, you literally will after this.
I literally will.
We might share a text or two, but.
I won't talk to you. I hate everyone.
I mean, you got two rookie managers. So the fact that both of them are in the championship series in their first season, like, they're pretty good.
I know. One of them's got a $350 million payroll. That
now, the thing
nice.
With Dave Roberts
85.
And Aaron Boone is that you have been in your position for so long and have not been able to finish the job.
This is Aaron Boone's third ALCS.
And this is Dave Roberts, what, like fifth? Sixth or something like that.
Is Tim Wakefield coming on the mound? Because I don't know if Aaron Boone's got the chops for
and
this.
And you have a asterisk World Series to show for it.
Yeah, right. We'll go real quick because the series might be over when we come back next week. Who do you like? Dodgers, Mets?
Dodgers. Sticking with Dodgers. Yeah. I've been sticking. I mean, again, oh, wow. Way to go on a limb, Joe, choosing the Dodgers 2-3 months ago. But again, I just think that they were playing like the best team in the NL then. I said they were going to win the World Series. I'm sticking with them.
And they're starting to figure out that starting staff. If I have to believe that my Guardians can get to the World Series, I do not want to lose or beat Frankie Lindor, so I will take the Dodgers as well. When we come back, fair or foul, everybody's favorite. But first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we do this bad boy every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, we'll toss it over to our fantastic producer, diehard Duck fan, Jordan Schultze.
Ducks are fighting for clicks, or other teams are fighting for clicks. Ducks are fighting for wins. So excited about that win.
12.
On Saturday over in Ohio State.
I'm still erect.
What's a Duck's favorite number? It used to be 0. Now it's 12.
Wait, what? Zero times that they beat, like, big teams? Or
you guys are the only team I've ever seen in my entire life that has the number of national championships written in the center of your field.
So funny. What does Wazoo have? I know they don't have it in
the
center
of the
field.
We don't write the number in the center of our field, I'll tell you
It's
that.
A letter.
It's called the letter O. It's a, it's like Mark Mason says about Damian Lillard. It's know. The letter O.
It looks like zero.
I think it's the letter O.
It looks like the number of natties you have.
How's your conference, bud?
Savage, dude.
Mountain West 2.0 over there.
You guys are so cool. So cool. So cool. You can't sit with us!
By the way, Joe, I know you produced this open, and I do appreciate you finding probably the only clip ever of a baseball announcer, and specifically my favorite one of all time.
And he gets on his hands and knees and blows on it.
Dave Niehaus talking about a baseball player getting on their hands and knees and blowing on anything is it's pretty cool.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Get to listen to that every week.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
I mean, this is the greatest call in the history of baseball.
I don't believe what I... No. It's Tom Bredeman.
Well, he's been relegated to CW football. All right, guys.
Yeah, my conference. Back up.
Yeah.
All right.
Relegation.
Bredeman's my guy. My guy. Big Friday night conference showdown, okay?
Yeah, versus UNLV.
Stop it!
All right.
I will fire you.
Somebody that does not have to worry about being fired is... new Reds manager, Terry Francona.
Tito.
Unbelievable. What a shock.
I would
shock.
Die for you right now.
What a shock of a hire the Cincinnati Reds made. They had turned down a bunch of the names. Scott Servais had possibly interviewed with them. A couple of other guys just kind of,
I would
Gabe
be sober. For,
did you guys talk about that last week?
Yeah,
we did.
I'd be sober for maybe like 4 or 5 days if it meant that I had Terry Francona on the Guardians again.
I understand.
4 or 5 days tops. I mean, I'm not crazy.
Can't ask you to change completely, right?
Oh, God.
No, but obviously one of the best managers of all time. He's won a World Series with the Red Sox and taking the Cleveland Guardians to a World Series or to the ALCS. I can't remember if the World Series was under him. That was, right, Patrick?
16?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, thank you. He got there in 2014. So yeah, Terry Francona, two different teams to the World Series, won it with the Red Sox, of course. And again, a team with red. But very shocking, of course, to get him. Fair or foul with their roster, Terry Francona will lead the Reds to the playoffs next season in 2025.
Oh, boy. This gets me hot. Gets me hot worked up. As I said earlier in the show, whatever the hell happens in the NL Central next year. And, boy, this throws a wrench into things. The Brewers are probably...
they're going to be the same. Christian Yelich is going to have a comeback season until he's dead in July.
Are the Cubs able to make a comeback season with Craig Counsell in year two?
Maybe some free agent pickups. I like the Cubs next year, but I liked them this year too.
Pirates, as long as they have that goofy ass owner.
Nope.
No. Not worried about them. Cardinals.
Nope. They're going to lose Goldschmidt.
Well, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with them.
I think they're going to reset.
I think they're going to reset, too, and Goldschmidt's going to be starting first baseman for your Seattle Mariners.
I'd prefer Wilson Contreras, but I digress.
God, I really want to say fair. I really do. But I'm not going to just yet, because we still have a whole offseason to go.
Tell you what, I will. I'll say fair. I love Tito. This is what Tito does. Tito comes in. What I'm more terrified is that Carl Willis, the pitching coach for the Guardians, is going to go be on the staff in Cincinnati, because Tito fired everybody. Yeah, everybody's gone. Cleaned house. Tito's going to bring his people in. I think Francona is the kind of guy. This is why this is such a home run hire. And the story about it is fascinating. They just said, why don't we take a shot at Tito? GM flew down there, met him on the golf course and said, yo, Tito, you interested in managing the Reds? And he was like, well, I'd talk to you. Let's go home. Let's eat some food. And then the owners of the Reds showed up. And it's like, oh, yeah, all right, cool, I'm down. I will say fair. I think Francona, what he gets there, outside of maybe Kevin Cash, There is no manager in modern day baseball that gets more out of nothing than Terry Francona. I'll say fair.
All right. I like both your guys' answers. Have to agree with you. Yeah, very weak division that they're coming out of. It's such a young, talented roster. Ellie De La Cruz, former Duck, Spencer Steer. I do believe Noel V. Marte, after his roid suspension, is going to come back and be okay for them. So, yeah, a lot of young pieces that Terry can play with. All right, guys, fair or foul number two. Did come out last week while Joe was gone that MLB is taking over production of the Guardians, Brewers, and Twins on television. So no more distribution by Bally Sports or whoever their partnerships were with. MLB and MLB.tv now going to be distributing that locally to fans and over the air. So, guys, we've seen almost like a third of teams now in the league doing this. Fair foul that most teams, most besides like New York, Boston, LA, you know, even Chicago is going the way of MLB handling their broadcast. But besides the big cities, most of these teams are going to have their broadcasts handled by MLB within 5 years. So by 2029, which also means, and in this situation it's happening with the Guardians, Brewers, and Twins, blackouts, that whole five-team blackout in the Midwest is disappearing. So fair or foul, guys, this will be the way of the world in MLB in 5 years or less.
I'll go first on this. I will say fair. I think Major League Baseball, you know, for all the times that I say Major League Baseball hates Major League Baseball and does a lot of things that hurt the progression of the game, what I will give them credit for, and we've always talked about how MLB.tv, the package, all that is ahead of everybody else, okay? You might love your Sunday ticket. You might love your league pass. That is here because of what Major League Baseball did. They did that first. I will give Major League Baseball credit because I think what they're trying to do is they're playing the long game of not pissing off the RSL, the RSNs, to where the NFL doesn't want to piss off the RSNs, the NBA doesn't want to piss off the RSNs, the regional sports networks, because that's where a lot of money is. Baseball is just waiting for the RSNs to fail, so then they can lift those blackout restrictions, and then instead of charging me $160 for the package, they'll charge me $200, and I can watch any game at any time. And I'll tell you what, most of the people that pay for the package now are going to pay for that 40 game upgrade, because a lot of us buy it because we love baseball and we have YouTube TV or cable or whatever it is. So now we can cut one of those and get into that. I think baseball is playing the game of let's not piss off RSNs by just letting them die.
Repeat the question for me, Schultzy, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. Fair foul. Most teams, besides like the big markets, will have their broadcasts handled by Major League Baseball within 5 years. Fair or foul?
Fair. I think the RSN sports model, it's a dying breed, especially with streaming. And MLB can handle it. Who was the team they took over this year? Was it the Padres?
Padres, Diamondbacks recently as well.
Yeah, and I feel like that it's actually gone pretty well for them. And I just think that the regional sports network, like how many different transitions into different companies have handled it. I mean, the Bally Diamond Sports Network thing has been an absolute failure. It seems like every few years it's a different regional sports network that's handling it. Other than the big major networks that we were talking about, you know, whether it's MASN, whether it's YES.
Or YES.
Yeah,
or
like those are kind of different beasts. But I think for some of these smaller markets across the country, yeah, I do not see them being able to survive without the MLB stepping in.
The only reason that this is foul is because Major League Baseball has taken full control over it, that it becomes an Apple TV thing like MLS. That's the only reason why this is foul, is that Major League Baseball eventually gets full control over all of it and sells it to a streamer.
There's a slight difference.
That's the only reason it's foul.
They are putting local, like, available over the air in Minnesota. Minneapolis, you can watch Twins games like you could, you know, right now if I'm watching the Mariners on Root Sports still. It's the same experience. You don't necessarily, if you've got, like, local cable already, don't have to buy this MLB.TV package. They are still offering it for you. But you're right. That could go away. Like, that might just be, like, the carrot, and then they'll pull that to make you pay the $200. Yep. Hear what you're saying. All right, guys, fair foul number three involving an upcoming free agent. That would be current New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso.
Oh, boy.
The polar
bear. He's expensive now.
The polar bear's
last few weeks, he's earned a lot of buckaroos.
Yeah, he's going to be making some money. Not quite his best overall season, but one of the best month, 3 week or so stretches that we've seen from Alonzo in a long time. Going to be 30 years old. Fair foul, guys. I don't think the Mariners are going to sign him. I'm not thinking that, you know, a guy that's been super successful in the best market in baseball is going to want to leave that. But guys, fair foul, Pete Alonso will re-sign with the New York Mets.
I'll go first on this. I think Pete Alonso will re-sign with the Mets, and I think they'll overpay him because I think they'll miss out on Soto.
Bingo!
Ding, so ding, they'll ding, have ding. To get somebody else.
Oh, the latter part of that I don't agree with, but the re-signing and overpaying I do agree with.
Yeah, I think they'll overpay him. I like Pete. I think the last 3 weeks I've always loved him. I mean, the polar bear is my favorite animal, so like I'm a little like attuned to him because his nickname's my favorite animal, but I think Pete has been really, really maybe the unsung hero of this Mets playoff run. He was bad at the end of the regular season, and all eyes are at Frankie Lindor right now. But Pete Alonso, that home run against the Brewers, he had a great game yesterday for them to tie the series at 1-1. I think Pete has been underappreciated hero of the Mets in this postseason. Yeah, I think they'll overpay him, and they'll wait before they pay him to see if they land Soto, which I don't think they will. So since they lose out on Soto, Cohen will overreact and overpay Pete to keep him there. I would love to see Pete go somewhere else because I would love to see his true value. I think he's a little overhyped in New York. I would love to see his true value. I think if the Mariners could land him, that'd be amazing, but they could never pay what he's going to get paid.
Cheap jerks.
But, he's a Met. He's a Met.
Yeah, again, I agree with Patrick that he's going to come back. I feel like the momentum of the season, how it shifted, where the Mets were able to make the NLCS, I feel like that he really does love New York, loves playing for this team, this city. And,
no more home run derbies.
Yeah. Well, I was out on it, but I don't know. Pete Alonso's starting to grow on me a little bit more, too.
Right.
But I think that the Mets are going to overpay for him more than they should. But again, I think that Steve Cohen, how he's running this team is that he's just burning through money. And he likes this team, the guys that he has. And Alonso wants to stay here, so he will.
Did you see that interview? Sorry.
I was going to say, did you see Steve Cohen's statement on Frankie Lindor?
No.
He was like, yeah, that contract sounded bad to you all right now, huh? Seems like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, I love Steve Cohen. His celebration and then...
When Frankie hit that grand slam it was just like, seems like a pretty good deal to me.
In the locker room for their celebration to get to the NLCS, like he was talking about how proud he was and how much money and time he's put into this team. And
God,
like, every fan deserves an owner for their team like this.
I don't love Cohen, but
no,
God,
I don't.
I love Frankie.
I mean,
God, I love him.
I love the attitude that Cohen has. We're up against it, though, so that's probably all we got time for, guys.
All right.
All right, that's Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. All right, we'll be back next week on Tuesday. What I'm looking at right now as far as the schedule goes.
Oh, I was going to say you were looking at porn.
No,
porn Dan.
No, there's like the buffers on this, so I can't look at that.
The buffers?
Oh, you can get around those, baby.
Like the VPNs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Again,
you want me to
sure.
You want me to just start typing in P O, and see if it goes?
Yeah.
What if it autofills?
I kind of want to see.
What if I log into like Dirt's account and it like autofills?
I'm not here for this. I do not recommend it. I remove myself from any.
As your producer, I say this is a bad idea. Should these series go the distance, go full seven, Dodgers, Mets will be on Monday, October 21st. Cleveland, New York would be in New York. A 7:38 Eastern tip on Tuesday, October 22nd. As things are set up now, game one of the World Series will be Friday, October 25th.
Okay.
Which leads me to be, when we come back next week on Tuesday, we should be able to preview the World Series.
Yes, because I don't think the Guardians Yankee series is going to go seven.
Sorry. Ouch. Thanks.
Listen, we're friends. I would love it.
You know, to Voldemort go seven. Would have never said that, and that's his team.
You know, I'd love it to go six, and with Cleveland winning it.
Oh, baby.
Suck on that.
Just running it.
Trust me, I can't deal with a cocky Ryan Cooley. All right. I cannot deal.
What do you mean? The Red Sox have been out for months.
Touche. What I can deal with, though, is the Yankees going to the World Series and then losing the World Series. I can deal with that.
Well, I mean, a hot take. I'll say it right now. I mean, nobody's listening now, so I'll say it next week when we preview the World Series. The Yankees will lose the World Series to whoever they play.
Whether it's the Mets or the Dodgers?
In my opinion, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's going to be the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I'm calling it. We're getting a Dodgers-Yankees World
Series. I think it'll be the Dodgers as well. Yeah. I just think they're the best team money can buy, even
Subway
though the
series,
Mets have the biggest one. Yeah, you like Subway still?
Yeah, I know the Dodgers killed the Padres, but I'm just not sure this whole bullpen starter thing is going to hold up.
What I have learned, though, to counter what you're saying, Schultzy, although I back what you're saying, is I actually think the Dodgers have figured out this starter bullpen thing. I actually think this bullpen has come around better than I anticipated because I've been banging on it all year. The Mets, I mean, Sugar Diaz comes in for the end of the game and walks the first two dudes, but then gets out of it. So
classic Sugar Diaz.
Classic Sugar Diaz could be a hurricane warning sound if you like.
No.
Okay.
We can't replace it.
Not good enough.
Yeah. We got to retire it.
Not good enough. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll catch you next week. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos. Go do something I would do.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.